You can make believe it happens, or pretend that something's true. You can wish or hope or contemplate a thing you'd like to do.
Beautiful day for a neighbor, would you be mine?
The truth is inside of us, and it's wonderful when we have the courage to tell it.
I just felt like I wanted more of that voice. It felt like this was a voice I don't hear in our culture today. This grown-up, empathetic voice that's helping us process the trauma of the world we live in.
Always look for the helpers.
There's something that you can do to help you become the master of the mad that you feel.
We're much more than one thing.
Director Morgan Neville, like generations of children and adults before him, was captivated by Fred Rogers. It's been 50 years since Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood premiered on PBS, and now Neville is bringing that voice to the big screen with the documentary Won't You Be My Neighbor, out on Friday. And he told me it was Rogers' reaction to one national tragedy in particular that got him hooked on the story.
Bobby Kennedy was killed on a Wednesday night, and the funeral was to be televised nationally on that Saturday. And Fred Rogers knew that children around the country would see it on television and they would hear about it. And rather than doing the thing adults tend to do with children, which is say, don't worry about it, don't pay attention, he said, I need to do something to help parents explain to children what has happened and to help them process it in age-appropriate terms. So he threw together this special that aired that Friday night, the night before the funeral. It's amazing because it's Fred speaking about how we look at things like this and how we try and understand them and make sense out of it. And you can see that he's very distraught and he's working very hard. You can see he's young and he's insecure, and yet he has this wisdom to him. And then when they act out some scenarios with Daniel Tiger, his puppet, and Lady Eberlin in the land of make-believe, and they start talking about assassination.
What does assassination mean?
It's so unexpected and so powerful.
Somebody getting killed in a sort of surprise way.
I just knew that wherever that was going to lead, it was going to lead to someplace interesting.
I'm wondering how his show compares to what we see on TV today. What would you say?
When Fred first saw television, he was a senior in college. He said he felt compelled to go into television because he hated it so. He saw both the potential of it and the misuse of it. And what he saw were programs where, you know, clowns were hitting each other over the head and pies were being thrown at people's faces. And essentially, television then and television now is often, for children, about selling toys and sugar. There was nobody who really understood the depth of what television was going to mean for generations of kids. He understood it. He changed his life's course and went into television rather than the seminary at that point. But he knew there would be generations of children raised by this device and that somebody had to use it for all of the potential good it had. I mean, what we call mindfulness now is really what Fred was doing.
And that mindfulness is interesting. You describe it like that because some people would say it's really slow. I think it was really deliberate, what he was trying to do, like take it at a pace that children could understand.
Without a doubt. I mean, his sense of pacing was so different. And this was not accidental. I mean, there was nothing about the show that was accidental. You know, every line of every script was carefully thought out. And Fred had studied childhood development. And in the 1960s, people didn't spend a lot of time thinking about how the emotional development of a four-year-old was different from that of a nine-year-old. And I think Fred understood that very young children had very different needs emotionally and just in terms of their knowledge. So what he did was incredibly appropriate for those age groups, and kids responded. It's interesting because a lot of people say, well, you know, it wouldn't work with kids today. I disagree, in part because I've seen it work with young kids. The thing is, you know, as Fred always said, the world around children change, but children on the insides don't change at all.
And he also didn't shy away from the tough issues, right? He talked about things like divorce and racism and disability.
I'm sure that there are times that you just wish you didn't have those crutches and braces. Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I know that that's a hard thing, and I'm proud of you. And I've certainly learned a lot by knowing you.
How do you think he was able to do that at that time in a way that made sense to children?
I mean, it was sheer force of will. Nobody was encouraging him to do that. It all came out of his own work, you know, in childhood development, but also his own understanding of his own childhood. You know, he had had a very unique childhood where he was an only child. He was sickly. He was overweight. He was really kind of a latchkey kid. And he grew up in a fairly affluent family in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. But he was basically by himself. And I think he never forgot all of the things that he was afraid of and that he worried about as a young child. And Fred essentially was trying to teach kids how to process fear. You know, and I think of Fred's message as basically dealing with the two poles of love on the one hand, which he talked about a lot, and fear on the other hand. And fear, I think Fred saw as essentially the root cause of anger and hatred and resentment and a lot of the other more toxic things we find in our lives.
You've immersed yourself into Fred Rogers' story. When you do that, are there any weaknesses that emerge?
In a way, I feel like Fred's weakness was also his strength. And by that, I mean he was insecure and full of doubt. We found evidence of that from when he was a very young man writing letters back to his wife, Joanne, to the middle of his career, at the peak of the show, when he was writing memos to himself, trying to cheer himself up and convince himself to move forward, and to his deathbed, where he was asking his wife if he had done enough. Was he a sheep or was he a goat, as he put it to her? And that's shocking for us to think about somebody like Mr. Rogers having doubts about the efficacy of the work he did because it was so obvious to all of us. But I think if he had not had that insecurity and that doubt, he wouldn't have worked as incredibly hard as he did for 50 years to do these programs for kids. And not just the programs, but the thousands and the hundreds of thousands of letters he wrote back to kids and the endless personal appearances and all of the other work that really consumed his life.
Morgan Neville is the Academy Award-winning director of 20 Feet from Stardom and Best of Enemies. His new documentary is called Won't You Be My Neighbor? Thanks, Morgan, for being with us.
Thanks so much.
Destiny from Ripley, West Virginia.
Hi, I'm Marilyn from Portland, Oregon.
Angela calling from Minneapolis.
My name's Andy. I'm from Louisville, Kentucky. I was calling about Mr. Rogers. He just did so much for me throughout my whole young life. I had an older brother who liked to beat up on me all the time, and I'd go in there, and he was kind of my release.
I was an only child with two full-time working parents. I came from the small town in West Virginia, and I didn't see much diversity. Watching Mr. Rogers was so peaceful and allowed me to see children that were different from me.
I truly credit Mr. Rogers for teaching me to be kind to everyone and treat them like a neighbor.
As a little kid, for me, Fred Rogers was like the touchstone that told me that I was loved. As he said, just the way you are.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With three updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.